Yo, 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 what is going on, gang? And the college season's over, so I'm sad. My nights have been boring. These days have been lonely without all these games going on. I don't know. It's like my entire life for a while, and now we're just alone and sad and have to watch the NBA and the NHL. But hey, a lot of recap. We've been through it all. Let's kind of give our breakdown of the end of the year. And here we go. So, I remember on the episode 2, 3 weeks ago, I said there were levels to the shit. And there were levels to the shit because we saw UConn and Purdue in the finals and the Huskies reigning strong. A lot to break down about the Huskies in general, coaching changes, the portal's going crazy. We sleep in May. And it's only April. So, with me here, I've got Mr. Fundamental Mike Erickson, the mid-major guru Zach Reynolds, and the generational hater Matthew Stern. Mike, I want to pass it over to you. Talk me through your NC State pick was just a shit show. Didn't stand a chance. We saw Purdue UConn. UConn eventually lived long enough to become the villain, I guess, and here we are. Give me your Final Four and championship breakdown.
Okay. Well, I don't really think it's any indication on NC State. I think that Purdue was way better than NC State the entire year and as it ended up. And it really is a reflection of how good UConn was because UConn was so much better than Purdue. Yeah, I mean, the Final Four of the championship story of the tournament is just that UConn team is better than any college basketball team I've ever seen. Honestly, like not comparatively, like they wouldn't beat an NBA team, but they were on the level of like the 16 Warriors where they just had everything cooking. Everyone knew their job. Everyone did it. Great job, Danny Hurley. Yeah, I mean, sucks, but go Huskies.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting question. I mean, I'll pose it to the floor, but you say the best team that you've ever seen. Is it the best team you've ever seen? And is it the best cop, right? We can't talk about the 90s or before that, really, because we weren't alive. But was this the best team you've ever seen in your life? Zach?
Yeah, I think it was. Kentucky a few years ago, obviously the team that was undefeated but didn't win at all, I think was probably more talented and maybe just as good in a one-off game. But the thing that impressed me the most about UConn, and it's been 2 years now, is that there's never a foot off the gas moment. Every other team we see, has a chance at a letdown. We talked about it earlier this year. Houston can go on their cold streaks. I don't really know if you count what happened with that shed, but one seeds historically are due for a letdown every now and then. And if it happens against the wrong team at a hot time, it can be taken advantage of. And UConn is not prone to that. UConn's letdowns are being up by 5 at halftime and then blowing the doors off a game. People thought Illinois might be able to give them a run for their money with their scoring. It was only 5 at half. They scored 30 straight points. Jaden Ledee had Klingon in kind of a blender offensively. Klingon was non-existent, and they beat them to death with their guards. Whenever Danny Hurley needed to draw up a set to get a bucket out of a timeout or something like that, it worked. There was nothing really anyone could do. They were very complete, and I think just not having 5 minutes of letdown basketball or 10 minutes of letdown basketball means that this team probably is the best that I've seen.
Yeah, I don't know. They defend as good as anyone. And what's, I don't know, like anyone is good, right? It doesn't matter who it is. It's just like they don't play through one player. And if someone has a bad game, it's not like, oh, you are worse off. It's just someone else is then better. And they're rolling off three, four guys off the bench that can all score too. And I don't know. That Kentucky team is the only most talented wise. Towns, Booker, Ulis, in terms of the Harrisons, Willie Cauley-Stein, right? Like, that's the most talented team. I don't know that those Nova teams, maybe Brunson, Hart, DiVincenzo, Pascal, Amari Spellman. Those were legit.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers say UConn was the best national championship ever. KenPom, he says not to compare year over year. They're the highest KenPom rating of any title winning team ever. Kentucky was the only one higher.
Yeah, and the only other one higher also was Duke in 99 with what supposedly team was sick and lost to UConn in the championship. So, yeah, Stern, any UConn takes or any other takes?
I just, as I've said to, I think you guys a bunch, like, I don't think UConn, maybe they do, but I don't think their players were that much better than every other team. But when you watch the sets that Hurley sets up for them, and how they pick apart every matchup meticulously and run sets to get people open and wide open alley-oops and dunks and back cuts and screens. It's just a level above everybody else. It's like they're playing a totally different sport. And as you saw against Alabama, it was especially noticeable. They were just running everything against that defense and just getting like wide open layups, shots, threes, just multiple passes per like Hurley is just so far above everybody else, in my opinion, at the moment, that it just makes them look like they're playing an easier game when they're not, and they're just that good. That's all.
Yeah, Mike, I want to ask you this because, right, you're into the coaching. You're probably the biggest NBA guy here, right? But is Hurley's sets just that far superior to every other college coach, or is he running an NBA style offense that would, players aside, but if could his style compete in the NBA? You know what I mean, like, is Hurley an NBA coach and a top NBA coach potentially at that? Or is it just a different game and he is running college basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really believe in the thing where they say that guys are good college coaches and then they're not good NBA coaches. I think that if you're a good coach, you can coach any level in any league. But the thing is, you just have to adapt to it. And I think where they end up sucking is where they try to run their college system in the NBA and it doesn't work. I think the thing that Hurley, his sets are great. I agree with Stern totally. I think that the biggest thing is that he has all of his players. Every single player on the floor, and he went what, seven, eight deep at least. Every one of them knew exactly what they were doing. They were focused. The little details they did right. And then also like the intangible stuff, like loose balls, weren't losing them. They rebounded very well. They were as locked in on defense as they were on offense. Like just that team was so complete. And yeah, I mean, it's got to be Hurley, right? I don't think that those, I agree with Stern. I don't think that those players were remarkably good. And they were just so much better than everyone else.
I also think going off of that, Mike, is that everyone buys in the same way that people buy into Sampson's defensive philosophy. Like you don't see a lazy guy on Houston. Like they are so well drilled, and that goes into practice hours and the videos that you see out of UConn where Hurley consistently like demands excellence from those guys, that it results in a better performance. They're so well drilled, they know where they're supposed to be, the sets are flawless. The motion is flawless. It's nonstop movement. And that's just, I think, a product of just the drilling that they go through, learning their roles, and they don't make those mistakes, come game time.
Yeah, and to answer your, I didn't answer your question before, but I think that no, he's not running an NBA system because guys aren't holding the ball in that offense. Like Newton would bring the ball up, and then Newton might not touch the ball again until every other player touched it. You know, it was hot potato even when it wasn't, and that's when you get guys like clinging for some reason has, you know, 14 points. And you're like, well, how the hell did he do that? Well, he got three drop down dunks and he got fouled three other times, right?
Yeah. But the reason I ask, right, is you talk about the Warriors, right? And I'm not remotely comparing them to the Warriors because no, Steph Curry is one of one, Klay Thompson's one of one, but you know what I mean? A lot of NBA offenses, Paul George dribbles up the floor, James Harden, oh, what should I do? Let me take someone one-on-one. I'm probably better than the guy defending me. Works a lot of the time. But the Warriors actually are just constant movement running around. It felt a little bit like that where no one could stop it at all. So that's why that's like where I was going. Like, is that an NBA offense if you had guys who would actually execute it, or is it not?
I mean, yeah, but I think if you told Newton, like, let's say theoretically the team comes back next year and Danny Hurley says, Tristan Newton, you're scoring 10 less points per game this year. That's just what the system is now. He would be like, all right, cool. And they could make that work and he would be just as good. But the thing is, in the NBA, you can't go tell, Paul George, you have to cut your shots down. Or even a guy like Klay Thompson, you can't say like, you can't pull that quick trigger transition three because, it's not a good shot. Like they can't do that because there's so much money and like the legacy and all that shit involved.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? Like, it's just interesting, right? Like, could Hurley be an NBA coach? I think he, personality-wise, he's meant for college. Like, he's too weird to be around grown men, to put it frank, but in the best way possible, too. But I don't think he's like built to coach a 35-year-old grown man center. It's just, he's meant to deal with kids and get the best out of a kid. But the style is what's interesting to me. And it's miles above any other coach from what I've seen. And no one can stop it. Houston was the only one that was like, can they defend it enough? But I don't know. So going off to Hurley, though, my idiot of the week is all the Kentucky fans out there. And I thought they were going to get Dan Hurley. And I might be a victim to myself because I was sitting in the car on the way to the national championship game saying, we're going to win tonight. Hurley's going to get 10 for 150, and he's going to go in his post-game press conference. And no one could fault the man because $150 million is like unheard of, right? That sets you, that sets your grandkids, your kids, whatever. And all the Kentucky fans were the same, and they thought they were going to get him because they're the best team in the country. And Hurley just said, who would want to go there because I'm at the best school in the country. So my idiot of the week is all the Kentucky fans that thought they were getting Dan Hurley as their coach, because you did not. You're now dealing with a bunch of Mormon Swifties. So yeah, Zach, idiot of the week.
A similar note is Mormons, I think, are my idiot of the week. The first candidate for that job before they even tried to get Hurley was Scott Drew. And Scott Drew's rejection, he claimed Waco was his place and God told him to stay in Waco. For those of you unfamiliar, Baylor is a Christian school. I don't know what denomination. But then Mark Pope was the next guy after Hurley said no. And he was not told by God to stay in Provo. He was not told by God to stay with the Mormons. So I think if you're comparing the two gods, one of them cares about their basketball program and one of them does not. My idiot of the week, therefore, is the Mormons. Because if your God doesn't care about college basketball, you might have the wrong religion.
It's a great line, honestly. What God do you believe in?
Yeshiva University is a pretty good D3 program, so I'll hang my hat on that. They have a guy in the G League now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
What's his nick? Like Jewish Mamba or something?
Look, God cared enough to give a Jew the talent to make the G League. I think that's all you can ask for out of the genetics pool.
Yeah. Mike, idiot of the week.
Vegas, or whoever the guy running Vegas is, setting the lines for the UConn games. I mean, I think what did they win? The past two tournaments, they haven't not covered.
Correct.
They've covered every game. I don't know what the motivation there is, but I don't see why you wouldn't just boost the lines up, especially in the Bama game. don't know what that is about.
All right. Well, genuine though, right? Are they allowed to roll into Purdue UConn and make the line like 15 and a half?
Yeah, definitely. I took 15 and a half in Purdue UConn and they won by 14 or 15, was it? Yeah, I got burned on that. But yeah, absolutely. But thank you, Vegas. I mean, thanks to the idiocy.
Yeah.
My of the week is still Brad Underwood, because what is it now? 2.5 weeks after that man spent his entire life getting ready for his final, what was it, his Elite Eight game, his first Elite Eight game in his career. And he decided the best chance his team had to win would be to drive the ball at Donovan Clingan 60 times and hope it worked. So 2.5 weeks later, Brad Underwood is still my idiot of the week, because if you spend your entire life getting ready for the biggest game of your career and that's the game plan you come up with, you're almost Tony level. You're almost Tony Bennett level terrible. Almost. Almost.
Well, in defense of Brad Underwood, he did say he had two assistants before that game prepping in the transfer portal, and he did land Kylan Boswell today.
A
It
member of the stupidest team in college basketball with all the talent in the world that just played like a bunch of idiots, so he'll fit right in.
Yep.
Yeah, Kylan, we'll get to the portal later, but Kylan Boswell. I get it, freshman point guard, whatever. Just because you come back to college doesn't mean you get better, right? Doesn't mean like he's not very good. And if you're not very good to start, doesn't mean like you get better. You just stay kind of mid. But whatever. We'll put that aside. All right. So many teams, so many games that have happened. Give me your biggest letdown from the tournament, Mike. Any round, any team, any game, the whole tournament in general, whatever you want to say.
I'll go. Yeah, I mean, I'll go Arizona for like the 15th straight year. Just being a top five, top 10 team, and then losing to a team that Clemson was better. Well, no, I don't think Clemson was better than them. I mean, Clemson beat them, and Clemson was a good team, but I just don't know how many years we do this Arizona thing. Where they look great all year because they're out west and they don't beat good teams during the regular season, in my opinion. And then they get to the tournament and lose. I mean, at least make a Final Four, right? Because then you're in the game, you did your job. Anything beyond that. But when's the last time Arizona did that? Zach?
They were the most recent Pac-12 team to win it, and that was, I think, 98, the year before that.
We were alive. Do you think the Big 12 helps Arizona? Anyone? Or you, Mike?
No.
I think it will, because they're not playing against those bullshit Pac-12 schools anymore, but then they'll come in with a four seed instead of a one seed.
Yeah, maybe. Zach, biggest 20 letdown.
My biggest letdown was, I think, the whole tournament. And I love college basketball and I don't want to be a hater, but I think this whole tournament was one of the worst in recent memory. You said after the round of 32, like, great, we don't have many Cinderellas left. We're going to get really good basketball. And the teams you expected to provide the really good basketball, sans UConn, didn't provide the really good basketball. Duke, Houston was a complete letdown, which would have maybe been less of a letdown had Duke not then gone and lost to NC State. You had two double-digit spreads in the Final Four. And then even after the Final Four, the thought process was, okay, great. We got the best two teams. We're going to have a great final. And then UConn steamrolled Purdue. So if the final between the best two teams is going to be a steamroll, at least let the rest of the tournament be good. People joined the NC State bandwagon, but I think most, big college basketball fans, and maybe I'm just speaking for myself here, but didn't really enjoy that Cinderella bandwagon. It was a team made up of All five starting players were transfers. There was no real, like, I didn't think the team had a real identity. DJ Burns was cool, but like not as cool as Robbie Avila would have been. And you know, a homegrown Indiana State team, or even like if a Drake team made that run. So I think the Cinderellas were pretty disappointing, except Oakland. Oakland was fun. I think the games weren't, I think I saw maybe the largest average margin of victory in the last 20 years or something in every game. There were, for every one possession Colorado Florida type game, there were like four 15 point games of close seed lines. So I think, you know, it's just the way that the games ended up playing out, right? But I think from an entertainment factor and a storyline perspective, I think the tournament kind of just fell flat, and that's no one's fault. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the lack of star power, honestly. There just wasn't. DJ Burns became it. Edie was there, but it was the UConn team as a whole, and there wasn't like there was no Zion. There was no person to like bring the tournament to life and get everyone engaged, and everyone was engaging Caitlin Clark. And you can't blame them because she's awesome, but everyone was tuned in Friday and Sunday for the women's game, and no one cared to stay up until 9:20 at night to watch the men's game. And I don't blame him. It was cool. I would have, we all did because we love college basketball, but like the average person, and my biggest letdown is the tournament committee, because when Randall Crawley or whatever the hell his name is handed the trophy to Hurley, the entire Arizona Stadium booed, which was like the highlight of my night. Just everyone booed this guy the second he got on the microphone. And you left out the Big East. You left out Robbie Avila. NIT ended up being awesome. And the scheduling was terrible. So the whole NCAA can just kind of let this tourney down. They didn't market it well.
Yeah,
No
I
press on
mean,
ESPN, no nothing.
and even last year you had like great game, like finishes that you remember. Like you had San Diego State beating FAU. Yeah, those aren't two great teams, but you remember that finish. You have Marquise Noel and Kansas State beating Michigan State. Like you remember that finish. And this is over a year ago, and you remember like some of these big games and how they ended. And this year I don't think you really felt that.
Yeah, the NC State shot in Champ Week over Virginia was more memorable to me than KJ Simpson's shot against Florida.
That was probably the biggest one.
Or
That's only memorable though, because Tony Bennett's the biggest fucking idiot in the entire world. That's why that's memorable.
I think he has more brain space in your head than like.
Most overrated coach in the country.
Stay hating.
Absolutely.
Speaking of coaches, though, what coaching change do you all think was, I don't know what adjective I want to describe, coolest, most interesting, most meaningful? I don't know, Stern, coaching change that you love, hate? I don't know.
I think Coach Cal to Arkansas is really funny.
Go
I
Hawks.
think he went from a state that had so much success and all they knew was success, and then Cal became known for recruiting really highly touted one and done freshmen and disappointing in the tournament, to a state that all they really know is disappointment, and he's going to fit in perfectly. And you know, there's like, Arkansas will be happy if they win like maybe a game or two in the tournament. Like there's no Kentucky level expectation for Final Fours every year. So he'll go, he'll throw a bunch of money at a bunch of freshmen, field a team of young kids, win maybe a tournament game, and just like be Coach Cal. Like I don't think it was like an upgrade for his career at this stage in his career. Like I think he, if anything, downgraded. There's no way he upgraded.
Is there anywhere to go up from Kentucky?
Probably not, but like for him, like why Arkansas? Like what about Arkansas?
Money. Walmart and Tyson basically paid his salary, and they'll pay his NIL.
You ever heard of Tyson Meats? It's that guy.
Yeah.
And Kentucky wanted him out. He was getting so much shit there. Now he can go to like a lighter place, try to win a tournament. And then if he wins a tournament, he can say, look, or if he wins, he's successful, he can say, look, it was me. It wasn't Kentucky. It was me. And
But this might be a scorching take. I think Musselman to USC is a better fit than Cal is at Arkansas.
sure,
Definitely.
yeah.
I think that'll be awesome. But
Where did Andy Enfield go? SMU.
SMU. I was actually gonna talk about that, but
What could you possibly have to say about
did
SMU?
Villanova get a new coach yet? Did they fire Burger Flip and Neptune? Whatever his name, did they fire him yet?
No, he's here for another year. We'll be terrible again.
And then he's going to McDonald's.
Yep.
Yeah, Zach, what could you possibly have to say about SMU right now?
Well, what I was gonna say is, I think, like generally, when you see coaching cycles take place, it's like the big job opens up, someone takes that job, and then, they fill in, right? You go lower major, lower major, lower major, right? Worst job to better job, worst job to better job. You saw it a little bit with Louisville, right? Like Louisville took Kelsey. And then I don't know who landed the Charleston job. I think maybe the Western Kentucky guy Lutz landed the Charleston job, but like you move up, right? And I think the cycle of SMU to USC to Arkansas to Kentucky, like is it's backwards, which I think is like kind of fun. Like you'd expect the SMU coach to upgrade to USC, the USC coach to upgrade to Arkansas because the Arkansas coach upgraded to Kentucky. Instead, you had the SMU coach get fired. They then, not a good job, went and poached the USC guy, and it's completely backwards. You look at like, how did Kentucky's vacancy occur? It occurred because of a chain of guys leaving, and the head of that chain being SMU of all places. Which I think was just like kind of a funny cycle. And if you look at it, that means like SMU is the best job in the cycle and Kentucky's the worst job in the cycle. And so I thought that was kind of a funny, like a funny chain of coaching changes and speaks a lot to the current era of like NIL and who's going to fork over the most. Cause SMU obviously forked over a lot of money to poach Enfield because they're trying to pay for an ACC salary now. And Rob Lanier was not a bad coach at all. He had 2 years there. They were a top 50 KenPom team this year. They were talented. He did a good job. And now he's off at Rice because he got canned. I also want to talk Kyle Smith briefly. I'm excited about that hire. Finally, Haas is gone. Made my day. I think Smith is great. Love Stanford. Got Raynaud back. And I think it's safe to say Stanford's back. We're back.
No, you're not.
Zach, can I give you one more that I thought you'd be interested in? Do
Yeah.
you think Danny Sprinkle can do some good stuff at UW?
Yeah, I think he can do good stuff anywhere. I mean, it's Mike Hopkins was a miserable coach. That experiment failed
He
greatly.
needs to come back to Syracuse and just sit behind Autry.
But like, yeah, I mean, yeah, but is Autry the guy? Like, is anyone going?
Autry is the guy. They love him. They
Is
had their
any?
best year. They had their best year in 10 years this
Yeah.
year.
Is my their best year from 10 years and they missed the tournament by a healthy. I mean, my question is
They
basically
had a fucking fossil at coach that was running a 2-3 zone that worked when Obama was in office. When's the
that's my
last time the two
question.
three zone worked? It
That's
like.
my question is anyone from his coaching tree capable of being a good head coach?
I mean, I feel like outside of Hopkins, nobody has really been given the opportunity.
Right. I guess Autry will be the guy, but maybe Syracuse should have gone. And I have a friend who went to Syracuse who's pretty pissed they didn't take a chance on Langle. But I guess Autry is work in progress, but Hopkins failed. Maybe that whole coaching tree might just be a fucking disaster because of the guy at the top of it.
Did Hamilton Elementary School pick up Kenny Payne to be their new coach?
Yeah, what is Kenny Payne doing?
That's where he should go.
You think
If
Tibbs
Hamilton
hired?
Elementary School needs a new basketball coach, that's where Kenny Payne should go.
You think Tibbs hires him back?
He doesn't even deserve an NBA job for what he did to Louisville. He set Louisville back like 30 years.
Hey, but my coaching hire actually though is Pat Kelsey because yes, Kenny Payne was. I think the four of us collectively could have done a better job than Kenny Payne, but Pat Kelsey's got recruits coming in and out of Louisville every single day, including Omar Bahlo. Like, why Bahlo would want to go from Arizona, top 10 team in the country, to Louisville is mind-boggling to me. But Kelce's rolling in recruits left and right and transfers left and right. Like, it's nobody's business right now, and I'm very interested to see the team that he puts together.
You know who their center will be if it's not Bala? Our good friend Ali Khalifa has him
Gosh.
on his top three list.
Do we want to talk about the fucking race wars, though, that's going to happen at Kentucky when Mark Pope just brings all of the Mormons to Kentucky all at the same time?
I mean, Jackson Robinson is the token who I think is already gone with him, but yeah.
Yeah, and Traore and Khalifa, I thought was going to go with him, I guess, but.
He's on the it's either, he's either going back to BYU Louisville or he's going with Pope to Kentucky. Those are
Yeah,
his three.
and I.
There's so many interesting coaching changes that I didn't even realize happened.
I think we got to talk about Dusty May more, dude. He was
That's
going to be my next one.
yeah.
So early on in the cycle, and now it just kind of got left behind. And it's like a really, really big job. And
He landed someone, right?
did he? I have no idea.
He saw
But.
a big name. I mean, I think he'll get John L. Davis there, but I thought he maybe they had a crystal ball on someone good. There was I'll you guys continue to chat. I'll see if I can find the name.
Another one. What was I gonna say?
DeVry is a big one.
That
And
was.
then Schertz is a big one.
Yeah.
The
Oh.
one, yeah, the one I'm interested in. I don't know a ton about him. I think you might, Zach, is what's the deal on Jared Calhoun,
Who?
the new Utah State head coach taking over for Sprinkle, Jerome
Oh.
Calhoun?
Remind me where they poached him from.
He came from Youngstown State. Interesting.
I don't know. They usually, I mean, Youngstown State was good. They were Horizon League with Oakland, and they were like the favorites to win that league. I don't know if they've actually ever made the tournament, but they've won that conference outright a couple times. Youngstown State has like four guards that'll fly at you. They play very fast. Utah State tends to make really good head coaching decisions, judging by the fact that they haven't paid for one in 4 years because they keep getting bought out. After Craig Smith left, and then Odom went to VCU, and then now Sprinkle left, they've literally generated revenue off of their coaches.
Do you think Osabor's gonna stay?
Did he enter?
Yeah, he's entered and he's going somewhere.
He's gone. He'll probably go to Washington, because he was with Sprinkle at Montana State. I'm sure he'll follow, and I'm sure probably the same for Darius Brown. I saw Martinez entered the portal too. So they'll have a rebuild there, but I think Calhoun is a good coach. I mean, truthfully, like I didn't know where he came from, but I could tell you enough about Youngstown State to tell you that they were a good basketball team with him there.
All right, love it.
The last coach that I think would be cool to touch on is my boy Holtman up at DePaul.
We'll let Mike take that one.
He on Indiana kid. I don't know. DePaul
It's Villanova's biggest
got
competition
a
in the
kid from
Big East.
UIC, a kid from Chicago State. You know what I mean? Like, this is a real
Which
program building up here.
UIC kid was it?
Couldn't tell you.
If it wasn't Isaiah Rivera, I think it's probably irrelevant, but
He's from UIC, so it's probably irrelevant. Anyways, that's like half
so
the people in Chicago. They didn't even know they have a University of Illinois, Chicago.
do we think we're penciling in UConn for a loss at DePaul next year? Is that where we're at?
I hope so. They deserve it.
I don't think Hurley would take that very well.
No. All right. Am curious. Going into next year, though, what team do you think is kind of in like the next phase to get to make that next step, right? You could hypothetically choose your portal right now within reason. You can, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, build your team. My team personally is going to be Xavier. Fremantle's back after a year gone. Desmond Claude is back. Drew, you're gone. Let them get one player in the portal. They got Sule Boom 2 years ago. Oliveri this year. You know what I mean? Like, let them get one guard that they can play with and throw Desmond Claude and Fremantle in there, and that's a top 25 team next year going from misery. But, you know what I mean? Like, pick a team like that that you kind of see that upside in for next year.
I have two. First of all, Houston's going to be a wagon again. They're returning basically everyone except for Shed, and they'll get a point guard. But Michigan and Indiana both have been just working the portal. May is a needed replacement.
Zags. They're going to be so good too.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. They will be elite too with Ajayi. But this was the guy that I was talking about at Michigan was Aiden Holloway. The kid who like burst onto the scene. He hasn't gone there yet, but Trey Donaldson, another Auburn kid, just committed there, or he got crystal balled there. And Holloway, his sister now goes to Michigan. So I'd be stunned if that's not where he ended up. So they're going to have those two kids. Will Cheddar, who was their only competent player, is staying. And then they'll probably land one of Vlad Goldin or John L. Davis in the portal. I'm sure Martin enters the portal and that's a consideration for him. So they're going to run back some combination of FAU and Auburn and Michigan with Dusty May running the show. They'll be in for a huge turnaround next year. And then Indiana, as much as I hate them, somehow like keeps getting these guys. They just landed Miles Rice, who was, I think, maybe the Pac-12 freshman of the year this year.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Collier, but Rice was incredible. Like, he willed that team to a 7 seed. They're in on Balo, big in on Balo. They're in on Keenan Carlisle, so they would have a completely new backcourt. I think they'll return punchable face Trey Galloway.
Returning, Gabe Cupps is returning.
Gabe Cupps sucks, but yeah, he's returning.
Hey,
the question is if Woody can coach a basketball team, and that's why I'm a little bit more confident in Michigan, because we know Dusty May can coach a college team. I haven't seen it from Woodson, but I think both of those teams are gonna like completely just like restock what they have.
Great, congratulations. The Big Ten will.
Well, keeping on that Big Ten note, and Zach, you probably can speak to it better than I can. We got to think Rutgers is going to win some games next year. No?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
They got two guys coming in, right? Ace and
Harper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you should if you have a top three recruiting class. I don't know if – is Cliff coming back, Omarui?
No, he's going to Seton Hall.
I think he's Seton Hall
or St. John's, one of the two.
Yeah, I thought St. John's was going to be where he went, but yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if you have the two best freshmen in the country, the second and third best, you should be pretty damn good. All I know is, have you seen the pictures of Jaden Quintanace? Have you pronounced his name? Some kid who's committed to Kentucky and then dipped.
Remember? Oh, yeah.
Taylor?
Yeah.
This kid is ripped.
Yeah.
Large freshman, and I want no part of him ever.
He'll be at Arkansas.
But this dude's a monster. And
oh, George Washington III returning to Michigan.
No way.
Yep. Withdrew his name from the portal.
Congrats, George.
The team I think I kind of like next year to take a little bit of a leap, kind of a bold pick, but I think they're kind of not bad, is I think Cincinnati's going to have a really good year.
I like that sneaky pick.
They kind of are bringing back Day-Day Thomas, James, Skillings, Lukosius, like all these guys that were like kind of above average to good. Give them another year to develop, get bigger, get stronger, and I think they can really make some noise and win some games. Like, I think they're going to be probably a top 25 team. And
I like it.
He sweats his ass off, but Sean Miller can coach a basketball team.
Yeah, love it.
West Miller.
Trey Townsend is also visiting Michigan.
Yeah, I saw that.
They could be.
They could be good.
Sometimes it takes a while, but they could be really good right away.
Yeah, the last one I'll also say is Providence. They got Bensley Joseph from Miami. Carter's not back, but Hopkins will be back. Is it, I think Oduro is back.
That guy needs econ. He's got to go to Enterprise at some point.
But yeah, I think Providence is could be good. Mike, you got a team for me?
I have a question.
Ask away.
Is South Carolina not a school you can go to anymore because your women's team is just inevitably going to be so much better than you?
It is weird that there's three, but they two players graduated and their best player just left. And they were six seed.
Yeah, dude,
And
it might be embarrassing.
also, I think both Carlisle and Rice, the guys that will be going to Indiana, are both from, they both played in like Georgia, South Carolina area, and they were early favorites, and then neither of them like visited, neither of them had anything going on there.
The UConn was great, and they won championships together. Women's, that is.
That's true. Also, that's weird because wasn't Lamont Paris coach of the year finals?
Yeah, but like, who the hell wants to go to South Carolina, anyways, to play basketball? You know, like, have they ever been good besides Sindarius Thornwell in that year they randomly made the Final Four?
I don't know. I also, my dog was barking during the coach thing, but Chris Mack at Charleston. A good Charleston play a little ball for Chris Mack.
That's who Charleston got. Yeah, that'll be awesome.
I think he's a great coach. Well, not great, but I think he's a good coach.
Xavier in Louisville. I mean, we didn't do anything at Louisville, right?
Yeah, but they canned him way too early.
Yeah, for
He was
Canada.
also in the aftermath of Patino committing a million crimes, so
Speaking
not
of,
much, right?
they'll be good next year. They're just gonna keep getting better, I think. I don't see Patino's teams regressing.
Yeah.
Didn't Patino have a violation? Do you see
Nah,
that?
bullshit. I think it was Jalen Stewart, if I'm gonna be honest. The UConn small forward. They tried to poach him in like the first round of the tournament. Like literally. It's like, yo, come play for me, we'll give you $500,000, and then just didn't.
Respect it.
Yeah. Any last college basketball takes? Or may I ask you who think is the Final Four of the NBA this year? Mike's eyes widened.
Final Four of the NBA.
Final Four of the NBA?
Oh man. Yeah, sure. I mean, Celtics, Sixers.
Oh, man.
And then whoever comes out of the Clippers Mavs series, I don't know which one it's going to be, but they'll be in the Western Conference Finals. And the Nuggets? Is that how that works? Is that possible?
That is how that works.
Genuine question, Mike. Like, can you mentally really handle another series of like the Sixers taking the Celtics to game seven, Embiid scoring 10 points on 4 of 16 shooting and them losing by 34? Can
Yo,
you really mentally?
you gotta get past the Knicks first.
Dude, if the Sixers make it past the second round, I'll throw a parade myself. I don't care if we get swept and lose every game by 55 points. If we make it past the second round, that's like, I would hang a banner.
Really?
Yeah, dude. We haven't been past the second round since I think 0-2, maybe.
Right,
It's the
Stern.
Philadelphia semifinal Sixers. That's what they are.
Stern, Final Four, NBA version.
The Knicks can avoid the Celtics until the Eastern Conference Finals? Yeah, they can.
Yep.
Yeah, Knicks Celtics and Oklahoma City versus. Is Denver the two or is Minnesota the two?
Denver, but can we stop with the Thunder, please, dude?
Oklahoma City and Denver.
Okay. I've got
Shake your head all you want.
trust the process. Sixers beating the Celtics, round one. Knicks beating the Heat, round one. And we're going to end Knicks Heat rematch Eastern Conference Finals with the Mavs and the Suns
The
in the Western
fucking Suns. Oh
That
my
even
God.
is that even I mean, I don't really know what's going on with the NBA, but is that even possible? If the Sixers play the Celtics, wouldn't the Knicks play the Heat in the first round?
A great point.
Yes.
I also said that already. So,
Sixers.
Nick Sixers. Let's have some fun.
All right, so if I have the Nuggets and the Celtics, who could they possibly play? Who is the 3-6 in the East? Bucks and who?
Pacers.
All right, give me the Celtics and the Bucks. And then Denver is what, the 2 seed?
Yeah.
So who's the 4-5? Clippers? Are the Clippers in the 4-5?
It sounds to me, Zach, you think LeBron's making it to the finals, potentially going for championship number five. That's what it sounds to me.
Where are the Suns? Where are the Suns?
Six seed.
So they can't play the Nuggets in the. Hey, yeah, give me the Clippers and the Nuggets, Western Conference, and Bucks, Celtics, Eastern Conference.
Right. Now give me your hockey Stanley Cup champion. And then we'll do a lock of the NBA slash NHL playoffs. Stern. Stanley.
My Stanley Cup champion. I think the Florida Panthers are really good, but I'll go with the Rangers.
Those are my two teams. But yeah, let's stick with the Rangers. Panthers are legit. Mike, Stanley Cup champion.
Wise.
If you make it, good luck.
Can we still make it?
I believe so.
Unlikely.
Barely.
Doesn't look.
Oh, I was kidding. I thought they were dead. All right, yeah, Flyers. I'm all in.
Would you go to a Flyers playoff game?
For free?
No, if you had to pay.
Yeah, I'd pay like $20.
Good luck. Your friends are paying that in 50-50 raffle.
Yeah, exactly.
Zach, round us off, Stanley Cup champion.
For me, the Winnipeg Jets.
Kind of a good pick. They're kind of really good.
Love it. All right. If there is college basketball news, we will bring it to you. But this is officially us signing off the straight shooters from the college basketball season. We will have an NBA playoff breakdown. We will have an NHL playoff breakdown. We will be getting some guests. We will be doing a lot of breakdown of the coming months, heading into the summer, where it is baseball season and TBT tournament. Because, hey, UConn Huskies and Mark DeMille are bringing together a TBT UConn basketball team. And I will be all locked in for it. So, with that said, live life one media timeout at a time. Be blessed. Stay happy. Have fun. Straight shooters out.